It doesn't sound like it, but there are 8 people at work in this small shed in Marja Lake in Western Victoria, snipping leaves and bunching stems. They're getting these Australian native plants ready to send off to market.
Well done.
Hello, I'm Danny Grindley. A few years ago, former shearer Brett McDonald took a gamble. He ditched the handpiece and half his sheep flock to grow native plants on his property. He planted about 50 hectares with eucalypts. The soil is sandy and pretty infertile, but the gamble appears to have paid off.
Yeah, it's got a lot busier. Things have really gone to plan.
Brett's plan focused on one Aussie beauty, the Tetragona eucalypt, which features nuts and branches covered in a white resin. During peak wedding season and in the lead-up to Christmas, demand is huge, and pickers are out at 7:30 every morning before it gets too hot. Brett will need even more workers next year, as these trees only get better with age.
Leaves up to 300 years old, and each year they just keep getting bigger and bigger. The mallee root underneath the soil gets bigger and bigger. That was a good thing, rather than having a short-term crop where you have to replace each year. This is a long-term crop, and put in a large area, a couple of 100 acres.
And the demand story has also progressed in the last 2 years.
We were just selling to one exporter down in Melbourne. We're now selling to Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane, and also looking to export to Japan, February, March.
Because not many other farmers would plant 200 acres with such a long-term crop, the Tetragona market really belongs to Brett. It's not a popular choice, and that was the allure.
Basically, we didn't want to have that phone call where you ring up and say, oh, I've got all these flowers ready, and they say to you, oh, no, we don't need them, sorry. Because we've grown a different crop, we usually get, oh, can you send a bit more of that down, please? Mm. Yeah.
And for you, it was about waiting for that supply to build up over the years, and I guess you've done your time, it's starting to pay off.
Yeah, so I guess we started planting Tetragona seedlings 12 years ago. We've probably just got enough volume now where we can supply the Australian market a little bit extra for export.
Everyone else has really struggled for a couple of bad years around this part of the world. How did the flowers go in 2 years of no rainfall?
Well, it's probably been more than 2 years of no rainfall. It's been probably 30 years. But the mallee trees are very tough. They seem to be able to get enough moisture throughout the year, and they did keep producing in those tough times, which is amazing.
And now we have had a ripper winter and spring. Will that make much of a difference going into next year?
Yeah, I can see a difference now. We really can predict the harvest by the previous year's rainfall. It looks like we're going to have extra, and that's brought about the export focus.
And why do they want these Tetragonas from Marja Lake in Australia?
Well, probably to put it in perspective, the Japanese flower market is absolutely huge. Most of it's produced in Japan by Japanese growers, so it's just something a little bit different that you might have in your florist.
And Holland was the other place you were talking about. That's another huge flower centre.
Yes, Holland is the centre of flowers in the world. The Dutch flower industry is bigger than the Australian wheat industry, believe it or not. Supplies flowers right across the world.
The domestic market also continues to develop, and Brett has few concerns about ongoing demand. The export focus really comes down to patriotism.
Just like to see it in some florist shops around Europe, yeah.
This isn't about money?
No, this is not about money, this is about skiding. A bit up there. Having an addiction to native plants, I've put a lot of research into bringing on new varieties, especially varieties that in the early days were bush picked nearly to extinction. A lot of them fell away because they were very hard to propagate. So we're looking into using tissue culture to get a few paddock full of those nice flowers and get them back on the market again in a sustainable manner.
He's got about 20 different crops on the list, but the next obsession is Exodia daisy,
which grows from the Grampians all the way down the Glenelg River to Nelson and also through the Adelaide Hills. In the early days it used to be bush pick, teams of pickers would go through and it'd be sold throughout Australia and exported, but as conservation came in, thank goodness, that was all stopped, and then there has been several attempts to commercialise the crop, but never seemed to continue. So we're going to have a real crack at trying to have a decent supply of that.
because it stays better the longer.
Oh yeah, there are a heap of nuts at the top there, yeah. Yeah,
Brett obviously has a good feeling about it because he's put 20,000 daisy plants in and has another 40,000 on order. The driver behind this whole flower business was to make up for what he calls a misspent youth. Margilake Flowers has given him and the family the security he was looking for, but he has no plans to retire.
Oh, no, no such thing as retirement in the flower game when you love it. Yeah, I'll be doing it till they put me in the hostel and need no. Yeah, I just love it. And it seems like there's no end to it. There's just all these interesting flowers that we're even still finding out in the bush. And as you know, with roses, how much that's been developed, how many varieties there are. There's some really good Australian ones that need a lot of development. So, yeah, it's only really the beginning. I don't think I'll ever run out of things to do.